It's a beautiful sunny day. Dave Jameson from EAA is here, and this is actually your area, and it's just busting as usual.
It is nice. It's we started this part of the grounds a few years ago to really bring out a new demographic. You know, we've got the Drone Center for youth-oriented individuals that certainly are wanting to experience flight, perhaps from a different point of view. And we added the Innovation Center here last year as well to start looking at the future of flight. Fantastic facilities here for forums and colleges as well.
And the forum, I saw the schedule. It's just
the lineup is amazing. The lineup is amazing. So you can consult our app, which you can get at EAA.org. We've got a link to download the app out of the iStore or the Google Play Store. And you can check out schedules and activities and services and just about everything else in the AirVenture app.
Yeah, it's awesome. So who's joining us, Dave?
So we've got Elliot from the Workhorse Group here this afternoon.
Hey, guys. How's it going?
Hey.
Welcome.
Thanks for hanging out with us on the radio today.
Yeah, great day to be outside here.
So we're very excited to have them here this year. One of the things that intrigued me the most was something that they had displayed at the Paris Air Show called the Surefly, which I guess the best description of it from my point of view, I'll let Elliot give you the proper perspective, is I guess a two-seat personal octocopter. Would that be sort of close?
Yeah. I mean, what we're trying to do is we're trying to make the drone something you can ride in, something that you can use as an alternative to a traditional helicopter.
And this is the American debut of it on display, isn't it?
Yes. We just got back from Paris. It sat in the shop for about 3 days and then went on a trailer and came here.
Well, we really appreciate you having bringing it out here. So we're very appreciative of you kind of being at Oshkosh and having the debut here. Just tell us a little bit more. I'm sure people would be very curious about the specifications, the price. Is it hybrid? Is it all electric? You know, what part of the market do you see addressing with it?
Right. So, I mean, what we're trying to do is we're trying to bring, you know, the helicopter to people who haven't been able to fly a helicopter before. So, you know, we want it. It looks like a big drone. We want it to handle like a big drone and be easy to control. Like a drone is, you know, you don't need to use all four limbs constantly. The computer's going to do most of the balance and craft stability for you, and you're just going to give it a direction as to where to go. So right now we've got a four-cylinder Honda engine that Viking Engines modifies for us, and we put that in the back of the craft. It powers two three-phase motors and dump all that energy into battery packs that live in the arms of the craft. And then those battery packs dole out three-phase electric power to the motors on the ends of the arms. So those are all independently controlled by the computer. And craft arms fold down so you can put it in a garage or put it on a trailer. If the generator were to go out, you've got 5 minutes of battery pack to get you down to the ground safely. And you've also got a ballistic parachute to really make sure that you feel safe when you're in the craft.
So would this be considered a helicopter, or does it fall outside of that spec?
We really want to try to get an FAA certification for this craft, and it nicely sort of slots in between several different things. So we've been talking to them early about it, and we're trying to figure out a path to go forward to certification, because obviously, you know, as anyone following this space knows, you know, we're not the only ones, you know, trying to build a craft like this. And you know, they've been really willing to work with us and figure out a way to go forward and figure out what kind of certification the pilot is going to have to need to fly the craft. Because we don't want to have someone need a helicopter pilot's license to get this. We'd like for there to be a much lower bar to entry to have this craft be yours.
Yeah, we're really kind of in uncharted territory.
Absolutely. The tech is here. The future is now. And someone had to do it eventually.
And is it always piloted, or do you see some sort of autonomous future for this as well?
Yeah, I mean, you know, we do some work in drones as well. And, you know, the tech to do, you know, autonomous flight and pre-programmed flight where you just give a destination, say go, is, you know, almost the easy part of this whole situation.
So the Surefly came out of a kind of a different core part of your business. Tell us a little bit about, you know, what you do in as a base business and how this came to be.
Sure. So the Workhorse Group, we are a publicly traded company. If you want to go on the NASDAQ at WKHS, you can buy some stock right now. Our core business is electric delivery trucks. So we purchased the Workhorse brand from Navistar, and we have a chassis manufacturing plant and make large box trucks for UPS and FedEx and Cintas, all electric, hybrid electric.
Cintas too?
Yeah.
Oh, interesting.
Yeah. So, you know, we took a 5 MPG vehicle, turned it into a 30 MPG vehicle, and made sure that your total cost of ownership is much, much lower than what it traditionally is on a gas or diesel-only powered vehicle.
And tell us about the Horsefly.
Right. So coming out of the delivery business side of things, we said, you know, we've already got these great fuel savings on the truck. How do we make a delivery route even more efficient? And so we came up with the concept of the Horsefly delivery drone, whereas instead of the Amazon model of flying hundreds of these things out of a warehouse 10 miles and back to do a single package, you know, you've already got a small fleet of little aircraft carriers in these delivery trucks going around every day. So if you can take a 60-mile-a-day route and, say, cut off, you know, 20 miles by eliminating your outliers by picking those off with the drone while the driver's doing other things, you know, your total driven miles per the day are a lot lower, and you're saving a lot of energy, saving a lot of time.
Yeah, oh, that's awesome.
So that's a project that we've been working on for a couple years now. We did a demonstration of the technology with UPS back in February, and we're looking forward. We're looking to do some more and maybe get into some real package deliveries out in rural America where the savings are really great, because you can really eliminate, you know, lots of miles of driving per single package out in rural and semi-rural America.
So there are a lot of companies, well, maybe not a lot. There's one company that comes to mind that's really going to be pushing forward aggressively into vertical takeoff and landing in urban spaces. Rhymes with Uber. So where do you see yourself sort of falling in, and how do you differentiate yourself from the approach that they're going to be taking?
The autonomous air taxi thing, you know, it's, you know, a lot of people really see it as being the future, and, you know, so do we. That's why we built the Surefly. We started as just the concept of your personal aircraft, and, you know, we can add the autonomy onto that, and, Uber wants to go all electric with their craft, and, you know, the battery tech for that, you know, it's going to be here eventually, guys. I mean, it's going to be here, but, you know, we're a hybrid craft right now, because, you know, the battery tech just isn't quite there yet. When it's there, we can go all electric, but for meaningful flight times right now of like an hour, which is what we're projecting for the Surefly, the hybrid is the only solution for now.
So the Honda motor is just to charge the batteries.
Yeah,
correct. The primary power is going to be the batteries.
Right. The Honda motor is going to be running whenever you're in the sky. Basically, you're constantly recharging at the rate that you're using it up, and you're only really ever flying solely electric in the event that the generator has an issue. Okay. You're drawing on the battery pack more when you really need to surge power to, you know, go into a strong gust of wind or something.
So why would it be limited to an hour then?
Oh, you run out of fuel first.
Oh, okay.
That's the limiting factor on the craft.
For the generator.
Right, for the generator. So okay. We've got a 13-gallon tank in there right now, and the burn rate's about 13 gallons an hour.
Is it?
Yeah.
Wow.
Always bad in aviation to run out of fuel, isn't it? Isn't it, Jeff?
bad. But 13 gallons. What kind of engine is it? What is this Honda motor?
It's a four-cylinder turbocharged unit out of, I believe, the Fit.
So a little Fit car.
Yeah.
Oh, all right.
13 gallons an hour, though? That seems like a lot. It must be running at a very high RPM.
I mean, we're running at about 200 to 210 horsepower continuous.
Oh, okay. Yeah.
We don't have the benefit of wings and large forward flight velocities to take up some of that lift, so we have to be constantly creating it.
Right.
But for a short hop vehicle like the Surefly, we're only projecting a range of about 70 miles on a tank. So we're really designing this vehicle for short hops out and back to the store, to the school, across a lake or a river. And as the engine tech gets better and the battery tech gets better, we can expand that flight envelope.
Sure. In terms of, you know, where do you see things going in terms of the airspace? There's been a lot of discussion, especially here at EAA this week, in terms of a lot of the proposed legislation for privatizing control and privatizing management of airspace. Sort of, where do you see that going, and how does that impact your ability to sort of seamlessly work your way in?
Well, a lot of what we're talking about, you know, in the airspace right now is automation, especially with drones, you know, getting into the skies a lot is where, you know, my background comes from. And you see the modernized, not privatized signs over here everywhere. And, you know, really that's what we have to be thinking about is not privatizing the system, but getting to a point where a lot of the heavy lifting for the more crowded airspace of the future is going to have to rely on automation. And, we've really seen LAT come in leaps and bounds in the past few years. And, you know, with the drones, we're getting to a point where, you can do a lot of autonomous flight. The airspace, you know, could be automated for that. We just need to get the sensors to a point where we trust them a little bit more. The same thing with the Surefly. If we're doing autonomous flights with the Surefly, that can use that same kind of technology.
So have you actually flown it, or is it purely just a static display at this point?
At the show this year, we are a static display. Okay. The one there is not just a static concept. It is the first one that will make the first flight. We've got a test mule sitting inside of our facility in Cincinnati, Ohio, that we're doing lift tests tethered to the ground and balance tests. And when the control engineers, you know, give us the green light that the computer's happy with that, we'll move on to the nice carbon one outside.
Yeah, it looked like a lot of carbon fiber on that.
Yeah, it's 100, you know, all of the structure of the craft is carbon, from the landing gear, the body, the doors, the arms, the propellers. We're really trying to keep the weight down, because that's how you get the flight time, and that's how you get the maneuverability out of it.
All right. What is the weight of the Surefly?
As it sits here right now, 1,300 pounds.
Okay. Wow. It's almost approaching like an LSA type
weight. That's double the weight of my Harley.
As I know, as I recall, Uber was shooting for a weight, I think, of around 850 pounds, was it?
I mean, the carbon itself is incredibly light. The entire frame of the craft, you know, you can lift up with just two people over your heads.
Okay.
You know, it's really the battery packs and the motor generator sets that are the bulk of the weight in the craft.
Excellent. What's your background, Elian?
Mechanical engineering. I went to the Rose Holman Institute of Technology, graduated 2011. And been working with the Workhorse Group and its precursor, Amp Electric Vehicles,
playing with batteries for a while.
For a while, yeah.
And you said you also had experience in drones or a background with drone technology as well?
My day-to-day job is I head up the Horsefly project, so I do a lot of the mechanical design on that and the docking system with the truck on that, and I help out with the Surefly now.
I'd love to see that. Is there a YouTube video of
So you can go online. You can go to our website at workhorse.com, and you can see the demonstration that we did with UPS back in February, and there's some other drone videos available there. We wanted to do a demo here at the show this year, but we couldn't get the logistics together in time to get the truck up here and everything. So
that would have been very cool.
Yeah, hopefully next year.
Next year maybe we'll do Horsefly and Surefly together.
Yeah, I think you guys were going to try to bring a UPS truck, as I recall, and we were going to, you know, put it right next to the UPS 767 that we had here yesterday. It would have been pretty impressive.
Yeah, so sorry we couldn't get that together in time.
That's right. We'll sell them on the next year.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
Excellent.
So has the show been successful for you? I know there's a lot of interest.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. The Innovation Center here is great. We really appreciate you giving us a space in there and, putting our picture on the side of the booth and everything. Yeah. It's fantastic.
Well, this stuff is what it's all about.
It is. It's really, I said, we're all about the past, present, and the future, and certainly things coming out of the Workhorse Group and with the Surefly in particular is really where aviation is headed. And I should mention to all your listeners that the tents here at Aviation Gateway Park are air-conditioned.
Yes.
So it's a great break.
A little bit. They're good.
It's a lot of it.
It's good air
conditioning. Good stuff.
Yeah. They also don't leak, which was good yesterday because had quite a bit of rain.
Oh, and leaks. All right. Well, we'll get on that.
No. We're good.
All right. Great. Well, thank you so much for joining us on EA Radio and for being here at Oshkosh.
Yeah, thanks, guys. This is my first year, and it's just absolutely staggering.
Please come back and see us next
absolutely.
Year. We'll be excited to see where you've gone in the last year.
Great.
Then.
Thanks, Elian.
Thank you.
J-Mon G, we're on the fly. Dave Jameson and I over here at Aviation Gateway Park. We'll take a break, and we have a lot more in store for you in the hour. You're listening to EA Radio.